As we're in the presence of God tonight, let's open our hearts for the Spirit of God to fall here, amen, to manifest the kingdom. Are you glad we're a part of an unshakable, eternal kingdom that will never pass away? So, Father, tonight, put your word in my mouth. Let people be blessed as they've come in and when they go out. We agree and take authority over the enemy. Let God arise. Let God arise. Let's begin to pray in the Spirit. Could I have some of those lights on, please? Let's begin to pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for breakthrough. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for breakthrough. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for turnaround. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Get those off, though. That's too much for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for breakthrough. Let's awake, church. Let's awake, church. Let's rise up tonight. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pierce through all limitations. Pierce through all bondage. Pierce through all tiredness, pierce through all heaviness. In the name of Jesus, let the heavens open over here tonight. We receive, Lord, by faith, the name of Jesus. Come with your presence. Come with your presence. Come with your presence. Come with your presence now. I put the blood against the enemy. And I receive your anointing now. Now. Now faith is. I release the anointing to break every yoke. Put your word in my mouth. Let breakthrough transpire. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Y'all can be seated. You know, I hang around here long enough. My son likes to joke with me. Since I was born in West Virginia and then got sent overseas when my parents went there, I can revert back without too much help. Hallelujah. That would scare those Californian people to death this Saturday if I was talking like you guys. Amen. No offense. Hallelujah. Kid, don't be upset that easily, but anyhow. As we're here tonight, I want to go a bit of a new direction. How many heard one or more of my sermons this week? Could I see your hands? All right. We've been stressing the importance of understanding that when God speaks to us, amen, when God speaks to us, He begins a process to fulfill it. And even if every circumstance sent from hell comes against you, God watches over His word to perform it, because His word won't return void. Are you glad heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word won't? You could have failed, you could have sinned, you could have messed up, people could have messed up, they could have failed, they could have sinned, but if what was spoken over you is truly God, then nothing can cause it to pass away. Amen. And if you get in the way, God knows how to turn up the fire. Hallelujah. Ask Jonah. So one of the problems with certain groups is Pentecostal Charismatics. They don't understand the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty of God means God rules and overrules. And so I spoke about the life of Jonah and in the life of Paul. And I spoke about Jacob. And I could trace it through great Bible characters. It was always the same. When God had spoke things to them, He was going to get them there. Whether heel marks all the way to the altar or total submission to God. Amen. And when someone was resisting it, like Saul of Tarsus, God had ways to bring him to his knees. Amen? And so may you know, like God brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem of Judea to fulfill the ancient prophecies. God's bringing you to that place in your life constantly so His word will come to pass in your life. Amen? Don't believe the lies of the devil. Amen? Amen. I mean, I know the heathens have something to be upset about because they're losing in this country. Amen. But God's people don't, because we're on the winning curve. And we can rest assured that God is bringing His people to that place where prophecy is going to be fulfilled. First, the prophecies of Scripture, and then specific words He can give to us at specific times. Amen. I remember, before we go on the word tonight, I had a guy staying with me in my room in Germany before I was married. And we woke up in the morning and he said this: "I was in your church last night." And people said, it was that time I was an evangelist. They said, they said to him, "Oh, he'll never pastor. He's an evangelist." But about 8 years later, I was pastoring. You see, when we get in the flesh, we know what we're going to be and where we're going to go. But may I say this, God has surprises. I said, God has surprises. Amen. And I love to hear people say never. Because that's an affront to God. Never. When somebody says never, I've had people tell me I'd never marry that man, and they're married today. Hallelujah. I'll never go to that church. I'll never become a pastor's wife. I'll never be a missionary. We go down the line. Never, never land doesn't work with God. I just want to tell you that. Hallelujah. So we want to go back to Genesis. Glad to have my friend Pastor Stephen here tonight and his mama. She done fed me well. Hallelujah. I tell you, I'd have to, if I lived here, I'd have to buy a gym because I'd have to be working out twice a day. Yes, Lord. Let me just check something here. Yeah. All right. We want to go to Genesis chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? If you aren't, you better. Genesis chapter 1. Now, just to set a foundation here. Jesus was confronted by the Pharisees. How many of you know the Pharisees get stirred up? And they said to him, what happens if you divorce your wife? And Jesus was talking about staying together as family. But Jesus said to him, it wasn't so from the beginning. It wasn't so from the beginning. The reason it's so vital to know the book of Genesis by revelation is because the eternal counsels of God are in the book of Genesis in seed form, and the rest of the Word of God opens them up. The word beginning is the Hebrew word for Genesis. Beginning. Beginnings. That's why in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning. And so there's a principle here. We've got to go back to the original purposes of God. And if we are going to build strong churches, we've got to build in conjunction with that. If people think they're finding new light, most of the time it's false light. Because it's not there's new light, we just discover eternal light. The truth that has always been in the Word of God that we didn't see. Amen? I mean, I used to sell rare books for a living, and I'd get a hold of books from the 1700s, 18th century, and they'd be preaching things that I haven't even preached yet. They had light I haven't yet seen, and it was good stuff. But God's Word is full of revelation, but we don't know it until He shows it to us. May we pray for revelation this year. How many want to pray for revelation this year? Yes, Lord. So let's go to the book of Genesis. First book of the Bible, chapter 1. I want to talk about the original purposes of God for mankind. And I don't see in here a lot of the emphasis that religious places have put on mankind. Because I want to tell you this. If you major in the minors, you're going to get off in a major way. But if you major in the majors, the minors will take care of themselves. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now, I like dogs, and I've had quite a few dangerous dogs. I've had Pit Bull, Rottweiler, German Shepherd, and now Standard Poodles, about 80 pounders. And they're worse than all the rest put together. Hallelujah. As far as can go wacko at times. But I've learned things about dogs. If they're chewing on a bone, particularly if it doesn't know you, don't try to take it out of its mouth. But if you hold up a steak, it's going to leave that bone. And it's very important we hold up the meat of the Word of God, because if we try to take bones out of sinners' mouths or carnal Christians' mouth, you're going to get bit. Oh, hallelujah. You see, the strength of sin is the law. What does that mean? I had three kids. Now, can you imagine? How many have kids? All right. Can you imagine you tell your kids, now you can play anywhere in the home, but not that room. Don't look what's in there and you leave. Where would your kids head? Okay, now you tell people don't smoke, don't drink, don't chew, don't hang around with them sinners. And what are they going to start doing? The very thing you tell them not to. But if you talk about the glories of Christ and the mysteries of eternity and the presence of God and the power of God and God's eternal plan for mankind, they've got something to head towards because it's much better than what you're going to find in a room of darkness. I wish I knew that as a young pastor. I could often be like a machine gun, you know. Take them down. Hallelujah. And it's got worse when you know everybody's sins, because then you always have new sermons. Hallelujah. But it doesn't work. I said it doesn't work. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And we got to turn on the light. Because light drives out darkness. And so we're going to see here tonight. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Just 1 second, I got to take off my jacket. I'm preaching myself into hot up here. You're my maitre d' tonight. Thank you. All right. Genesis chapter 1. Why did God create mankind? What is God's purpose for the church? I am the Lord, I change not. Well, what is that? Well, what did God intend? That we don't get in some fad. Fads are generally new things we think we're doing that are really just old deceptions to lead us out of Christ. But let's look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, let's make man in our image, Genesis 1, 26, and after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the air and over the fowl, the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Aren't you glad God gave you dominion over creeps? Amen. Hallelujah. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, and he created them. All right, let's go, first of all. Let's make man in our image after our likeness. God created mankind not to be him, because that's deception when people say they're God or gods. But God created mankind not to be sinful, not to be satanic, not to be carnal. Boy, that leaves quite a few people out, doesn't it? God created mankind to be like him. Now, I can think back 45 years walking with the Lord, and I can say, man, I've really progressed. I don't do some of the things I did 40, 50 years ago. I'm flying high in the sky and pass you by. If I compare myself to how I was or how others are, but if I compare myself to Jesus, I'm going to be flat on my face. Because there's a lot of ground, a lot of land I have yet to possess. May the Holy Spirit let us know that God doesn't want us to be like some movie star, some sports guy, some politician, or any other human being. God has a very high goal for mankind. That's to be Christ-like. And it's an impossibility to produce apart from the Spirit of God and the grace of God and the Word of God working in our life. From now throughout eternity, God is going to be producing Christ-likeness in His people. Amen. And so what are you doing if you're in ministry? You know, how can I say this? Oh, I could stir up a lot of things. I wish I had a room full of Assembly of God, Baptist, Church of God in Christ, independent, charismatic, oneness, faith people, go down the line. I know just which buttons to push in all those groups. Because they get, cricket, they get like clones. I can tell them a mile away. You see, I don't want to duplicate any man-made system. And somebody said, you know, they're trying to figure me out. He said, there's the mystery of godliness, and there's the mystery of iniquity. This was a guy who'd come to my church. And then there's the mystery of Bill Norton. He's trying to figure me out, trying to put me in a box. But the only box I'm going to be in one day is the box I'm putting in the ground before I meet the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to stay who I am in Christ because God has enough trouble with the real me rather than the false me. Hallelujah. To be Christ-like. God, out of the dirt, breathed into that bit of terra firma soil, and man became a living soul. Some of God was put in there. And that's why abortion is so wicked, because though sin has destroyed mankind, there's still something of the image of God. Man is still a spirit, though he's a dead spirit apart from Christ. But people are destroying something made in the image of God. You see, my self-image. Okay, I know what people are talking about. But rather than concentrate on self-image, let's concentrate on becoming who we are in the image of God. Because when God created mankind, He didn't, you know, there's animal rights. Have you ever run into any of those nutcases? I mean, the porpoise is more important than the baby. But they got things all upside down and inside out, and I like animals, but animals don't have an eternal spirit. Well, I think some of them might be in heaven anyhow, because God can recreate. Hallelujah. My wife, I used to harass this one cat I had, pick it up and do flips. She said in eternity there was going to be some cat that would make me do all these things. Come on, Bill, jump on down and everything. And put me next to some Roman Catholic bishop, too, because I used to go after them a lot. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be something to just perfect you in eternity? God puts you next to somebody, your mansion right next to someone that drives you up the wall. Hallelujah. But you'd be glorified so you wouldn't drive each other too crazy. Hallelujah. Christ-likeness. God created mankind with a high and holy vision for mankind. And that's why when sin came into the world, it was so serious, because it destroyed mankind who was made in the image of God, thus brought sin in, and it would take someone coming out of heaven, God Himself, to restore mankind fully back into the image of God. You say, well, I don't see much God in my life. This, it's there whether you see it or not. You have an eternal spirit in you, and you have a soul that progressively is becoming more like Christ's. And it's the soul life that God has to go after. Because I want to tell you, dear people, I don't want to be Presbyterian. I don't want to be Baptist. And I preach in all those churches and love all those people. I don't want to be Pentecostal and all its different 57 varieties of it. I don't want to fit into that stuff. I don't want to be charismatic or any apostolic or any other group like that. I just, by the grace of God, with the Holy Spirit's help, I want to be more like Jesus. And I want a greater vision of Jesus. Because without a vision of Jesus, we're not going to become more like Jesus. And when we meet Him, the Scripture says we're going to be like Him. Everything that wasn't developed in us on this earth, I'm glad in eternity it's made right. Again, if I'm comparing myself to what I once was, that's pretty good. But comparison to Christ, it talks about in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it talks about in the ages to come, He's going to show His eternal kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. God knows what He's up to in eternity. You know, some people are preaching about heaven and they got all these far out ideas. But I tell you, one of the ideas that Ephesians talks about throughout eternity, God is going to be making us more and more like Him. No, we'll never take His place. I don't agree with the Mormons where we're going to be given our own planets and we'll become like gods. That's from hell. But I want to tell you, there's things the eye hath not seen, and the ear hath not heard, and either has entered into the heart of man, that God has prepared for them that love Him. Are you glad? When Jesus is our goal, eternity is our place. Amen. Eternal beauty. Eternal perfection. And so our goal has to be to lift Jesus up in such a way that people want to be like Him. Amen. Do you want to be like Jesus? And this is so tragic, we were talking a little bit coming down here. So much of God's church has no resemblance of how Jesus treats people. For example, a woman caught in adultery, Jesus said, that's right, stone her. Is that what He said? She broke the law. He said, whoever hadn't committed this same sin, go ahead. And all those guys got out of there fast. Why do you think they got out of there fast? They just hadn't been caught yet. See, the Pharisee spirit wants to condemn someone for what they're doing. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He was the mercy of God personified. Are you glad for the personification of God came in Jesus Christ? Because if God didn't come in human form, we could never exactly know who He is in any idea. In the Old Testament, He would appear in thunder and in lightning and visible glory and the earth would shake. How would you like to duplicate that in your life? Put your finger in electric, so you'd shake. And no, you couldn't understand God fully, though Moses saw Him face to face. There were some unique individuals like David and Moses and Enoch that walked with God and Elijah. But by and large, the people of God were in tremendous ignorance. I'm glad Jesus came to destroy spiritual ignorance. I said, I'm glad Jesus came to destroy spiritual ignorance. And I want to find a people whose goal is to know God who was personified in Christ and reflect Him on the earth, because we're made in His image and He wants to bring forth His likeness in us. Amen?
Amen.
True testimony. There was this old guy in Russia, an old man. He was leader. They put him in jail, beat him up, tortured him, and that didn't work. And then all these people were getting saved under his ministry. And so the warden of the prison said, I'll get rid of this guy. He put him in one of the worst mass murders cells, and he thought this mass murder would kill this old man. But a few weeks went by, and rather than kill that man, that mass murderer became a Christian.
Hallelujah.
So the warden brought this old man into his office, and he said, old man, who is this Jesus like? This is what this old guy said, this old leader. He said, he's just like me. Now, if I'd say that, or you say that, lightning would come down from heaven tonight. We'd be fried, tried, and crucified. But here was a guy who had gone through such hell on earth and drew so close to God that all of a sudden the image of Christ was reflected to him through him, and no man could resist what God put in his life.
Amen.
The image of God. The likeness of God. That's what God wants replicated. Not that we become Jesus. Not that we ever can enter into full perfection in this life. But there's a great degree of Christ-likeness that has to come. And the world doesn't need more religion. Old-time religion, new-time religion, Southern fried, and then some religion. It doesn't need any of that. What the world needs is the revelation of Jesus Christ, a real revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in His power, in His love. And hear me, not just here comes Jesus, but when the apostles showed up, the reason they are so powerful, Christ and them were in such union when they showed up in town, Christ in them, the hope of glory, was displayed.
Amen.
I just pray we don't have to go through some things that some people I know in the other parts of the world have gone through to reveal the likeness of God. In the beginning, God said, let's make man in our image and after our likeness. The eternal plan of God was to turn dirt into God. Imagine that. Not that you become God, but God-like. How many understand that? God-like. And may I say this, that takes God to make it happen. Amen? I've said it in Camden once, but I'll say it again. This one of the greatest prophets in America right now, he's almost 90 years old, still prophesying with great accuracy. I'll tell you how great accuracy. This colonel came forward in his church, and this prophet said, you're going to Iraq, and you'll never lose one man under your command, and then you're going to become a general. And the colonel drove away with his sister and said, that's impossible. In my part of the Air Force, there's no such thing as a general. It's colonel and that's it. And I'm getting ready to retire after this tour in Iraq. Well, he went over there, all these different divisions of the armed services were being killed, but no one under his command was dying. And one day, he got a report, some of your men were killed today, and he had them text back or whatever, email back. That's impossible. I have the word of the Lord. That can't happen. Imagine that in the Air Force. Later that day, he found out it was a false report. It was someone else's men. So one of the high-ups got in touch with him and said, men under my command are being killed left and right. Why isn't it happening in your group? He said, oh, that's easy. I have the word of the Lord. And he left the military. He was going to retire after he stayed one other tour in Iraq. He said, if this is good, no one's getting killed, I'm going to stay here. But was going to retire, went back to the United States, and he's coming back to the United States. He gets a call from the Pentagon. You must come here. We need to talk to you. He thought he was in hot water. And he went in there, and here's all these big brass, big leaders. They said, we are starting a new division in the armed services. We want to know if you want to be in charge, because we're going to make you a general if you do. That's the degree of the prophetic realm that my friend carries. He's from Pennsylvania. But once he's at this meeting, And they're saying, David so forth is an apostle. David so forth is a prophet. He's driving home with his wife. He said, what do you think of that, honey? She said, that's great, but they don't live with you. Oh, the lights are turned on. Hallelujah. Christ's likeness doesn't come cheap. That's why Satan attacked Adam and Eve. He wanted his likeness on the earth. Do you understand warfare? Satan wants his people to destroy the earth. God wants his people to bless the earth. God wants his people to reveal his character and likeness. Satan wants his people to reveal his character and likeness. And I tell you, I'm not going to get sucked into these religious devils and these political devils and these racial devils in America. I don't want to reveal whiteness. I want to reveal Christ's likeness. Do you understand that? Christians need to wake up that we don't get sucked into these demonic spirits, because, hear me, we're to release God's ways, not man's ways. God's character, not man's character. And God's likeness. And if we all function on that, there would be peace on earth, goodwill towards man. So God created man to have his likeness. Now the next thing, notice this, to have dominion over all creation. And if this isn't in God, there comes a violation. Mankind tries to dominate mankind. That's called witchcraft. That's called control. That's called dictatorship. But God wants mankind under him to be in charge of all of creation. And hear me. Over everything that moves on the earth. I believe, like Jesus, he was the greatest dominion man that ever walked the earth. He could walk on the water. He could overthrow death. He could deal with storms, and various other people could stop the storm. Joshua could create things out of nothing. Jesus operated in supernatural dominion. How many of you want to go to a new place in dominion this year? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Recently, I've been experiencing some authority over storms, snowstorms, and tornado tried to mess up my first night here. That wasn't going to happen. Stopped it in the name of the Lord. And God's looking for people that understand that God wants people on earth that can reveal the authority of God Almighty. I heard a true testimony of a great prophet in another generation. He didn't know what he was getting into. He started walking into a field. He was a game warden. And all of a sudden, he didn't read the sign, do not enter, dangerous bull. So he got in the middle of the field, and here came this. And where's my gun? And he realized, help me, Lord, I left it in the car. So this thing was getting ready to have him for a barbecue. Going to run him through, and then God only knows what would happen. Huge bull. But the Lord came on him and he said, you are God's creature and I am God's creation. I'm going this way, you go that way. And the bull obeyed him. That's dominion. Yes, Lord. And don't get in the middle of some field and try it out. Amen. Use your brains for a change. Amen. But when we get in circumstances like that, hear me, there's dominion. I said there's dominion. During the Indonesian revival, that's a country over there in the South Pacific, not that far from Australia, people were in the midst of a real visitation from God, and they went into a river to cross it. It wasn't that deep, but the river was full of crocodiles. And they'd been witnessing to this Muslim village. And here came the crocodiles. They're walking in the river, and they didn't even see them. And the Muslim said, we're going to see what becomes of those Christians. Well, all of a sudden, these Christian evangelists saw the crocodiles coming, licking their chops, heading in their direction. And they took authority in the name of Jesus, and the crocodiles turned and went away. Are you glad there's dominion? Are you glad there's dominion? I said there's dominion. There's authority to be released, because hear me, Jesus has dominion over all things. I said Jesus has dominion over all things. But his great desire from eternity past to eternity future, he wanted to raise up a people with his image and likeness that had dominion. So I says, well, I was a drug addict. Now I can't walk at work in a pharmacy, or I was an alcoholic and I'd go in there and witness. But if I smell that stuff, I want to tell you, I have dominion. And when God sends me anywhere to anyone, I don't have to fear. Oh, hallelujah. I was with my wife once in Portsmouth. Where was it? New Hampshire. It's way up there in Yankee land. Hallelujah. It's way up there. Hallelujah. And we went in the old city near the port there, and you want to talk about New Age. You think you're in another planet, on another planet. Boing, 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 boing. And it glows kind of in the dark, you know. And here's all these stores selling this witchcraft stuff. And I told my wife, I'm excited. She said, Bill, I'm staying here. She said, I almost got in the occult in my teenage years, but God stopped it. I said, all right, you stay here and read. I'm going in. So I went in this New Age bookstore. And when I went in, I felt such anointing. I looked at the girl behind the counter. She ran to the other side of the store. Here they had all these potions and all these witchcraft books and astrology books and everything else. And the girl, I'd go to one part of the store, she'd run to the other. It's kind of interesting. And finally, she had her Chinese food. She was eating like this. She wouldn't look. And I says, I saw you have an advertisement out there that there's an astrologist here, and she can, a palm reader, she can read my hand. Oh, you want your fortune told? I said, why would I go to someone who uses the stars when my God made them? Oh my goodness, she was ready to fly the friendly skies, I want to tell you. But see, I'm not afraid of those witchcraft devils. I have dominion. Do you hear what I'm saying? I have dominion. And Christians need to start showing dominion in North America and stop letting the devil and the devil's people push them around. Because we have dominion. Because that's in us, in Christ. Now, out of the will of God, you don't have dominion. You have control. You have manipulation. You have a lot of other things. Oh, hallelujah. I have two beautiful daughters. I didn't have to teach them to be manipulative at all. Those eyes and those cries. And so I'm not talking about soul power. I'm talking in God's will, in God's name, through God's word, we have dominion. And we got to exercise dominion over sin, because sin shall not have dominion over you. Dominion over Satan. Dominion over self. Dominion over poverty. Dominion over all evil on the earth. Do you want to be vessels that release the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ in this generation? Because here's the good news, but the bad news. We have the authority to do that, but if we don't, we're going to be dominated by the ungodly. Christians let the devil take over the public schools, drive prayer out, drive Bible study out, drive godly standards out, and the devil's people came in to dominate. But I believe it's a new season for the church to arise and release the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ in this generation. Do you want to be a people of dominion? Because God created you for that purpose. Oh, hallelujah. Now, notice this, verse 28. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Now, I know that was natural reproduction. But I want to prove to you that it doesn't end there, because what was natural in the Old Testament was often the spiritual in the New Testament. Jesus said, you've not chosen me, I've chosen you, John 15, that you'd go forth and bring forth fruit. Did he not? And your fruit would remain. Fruit. Not fruitcakes. Not Fruit Loop. Fruit. What does that mean? Spiritual breakthroughs. Spiritual results that remain. Christ-like ways in our life. Fruit. He said, God's going to be glorified if we bring forth much fruit. And it's not apart from the vine. God Himself. Fruit-bearing Christians. Fruit-bearing Christians. How many hear that? That's God's heart. God wants you to bring forth souls. God wants you to bring forth results of healing. God wants you to deliver people out of the powers of darkness. Fruit that remains. And I only want to be a part of ministries and churches that are fruitful places. Amen. I don't have time to be a part of something that's dying on the vine. I don't want to identify with something that's a has-been, or could-have-been, or should-have-been. I want to be a part of something that's fruit-bearing. It's an interesting parable Jesus gave. There was a fig tree going to die? They said, let's cut it down. And the keeper of the vineyard said, no, don't do that. Let me dung it. Let me put around it manure. And they put all this around him, and it started, and he says, if it doesn't work, then you can cut it down. And if you feel that your life recently has been surrounded by a lot of, maybe God's trying to save you from being a Christian that's barren. My goodness, some of the stuff that comes your way to produce fruit. Like I knew a guy, he was scared to death of heights, and God wanted to get that out of his life. He was scared to death of heights, and he had 7 kids. And he had to get a job on top of the ministry. You know what? The only job he could get was painting bridges hundreds of feet up on this little thing. You pull yourself on a rope and paint it. You know, when he kept painting those bridges all summer, he didn't have any fear of heights afterwards. God knows how to get the bad fruit out of our life. God knows how to bring the good fruit of our life. And why do you think the characteristics of God's character is called the fruit of the Spirit? Be fruitful and multiply. Now, multiplication. Multiplication. To prove to you this is not just human reproduction, Acts chapter 6 says the church that was at Jerusalem multiplied. What does that mean? One got saved and reached others, and they got saved that reached others. There was a spiritual explosion of new people. Now, some people call revival is when you get another church's problems. I like new people. Generally, someone else's problems, if I'm in charge, they don't last too long under me. Hallelujah. People who don't want to change, who just get upset with the pastor and go to another church and try to cause the same mess there. I want new blood. I said, I want new blood. I want to multiply. I don't want mutation. I want multiplication. Oh, hallelujah. Multiplication. The churches that were in Judea, they multiplied, Acts chapter 9, verse 31, walking in the fear of God in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. May God release multiplication in this church. And in Camden, throughout Arkansas, and throughout North America, when there's a real visitation of God, God's people multiply. Now, another aspect of this, God wants you to reproduce yourself in others. What He puts in your life, you need to teach others. That's called mentoring. But that's also multiplication. Because as a team, we can accomplish a lot more than we can by ourselves. If you're on a walk, if you're leading and you're on a walk, and if you're leading and no one's following you, you're just on a walk by yourself. And leadership has a grace to it that others want to follow. Multiplication. Multiplication. And we need to concentrate on this because many false groups, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, and other types, they're very good at producing false disciples. But if that's the case, how about some true disciples? Jesus multiplied himself in the 12, and then he had 70 others also, and by the end of his life there was 500 faithful that he'd done a degree of multiplication all their lives. May the church of God multiply in this generation. May God multiply his blessings, his anointings, his workings in his body. Because in the beginning he didn't say, just keep what you got, boys. Hang on there, hold on to the end. No, he said, be fruitful. Be fruitful. He still has that call for my life and your life. And multiply. And don't be like the enemy. Aim to be like me in your thoughts, words, and deeds. Real holiness is not what you don't do. Real holiness is what you become. Oh, hallelujah. Now, he also said, replenish the earth and subdue it. And he said, have dominion again. Replenish. What does that mean? How many have ever done, what do you call it? Not building from scratch, remodeling. Man, I've been in some places before. You had to strip it right down to the studs. Because everything that was in the place was wrong. And may I say, the earth, when you go to the inner cities and you go to third world nations and you see people living like animals and you see people oppressed and you see people tormented, I'm glad we can rebuild what Satan has destroyed. That's why we got to know that God is in the business of taking a mess and turning it into a masterpiece. We can see burned out cities and burned out lives and burned out families and cause them to burn again. Because we're ordained to replenish the earth.
Amen.
Now another thing. He said subdue it. What does that mean? Conquer. Outside of God, there's wars and rumors of wars. There's violence. There's gangs. All that is the counterfeit. But man was created to be a conquering agent of God over the forces of nature and over the forces of wickedness. And therefore, we're either going to enter into this or be subdued ourselves. Because the best defense is a good... We got to go on the offensive to reach souls, on the offensive to deal with the powers of darkness, to cast out spirits, on the offensive to heal the sick. Otherwise, we're very vulnerable. And may I say, these are not my ideas. God said, when I created mankind, He shows us in Genesis, Moses got the revelation of this from God Almighty face to face. He said, this is what I created man for. So if I'm discipling people, I want to make them more than conquerors. If I'm discipling people, I want to make them replenishers, dash rebuilders. If I'm discipling people, I want to teach people how to have dominion. Because God doesn't want you in the curses of your upbringing. God doesn't want you in the curses of your neighborhood. God doesn't want you in the curses of secular humanism or witchcraft, perversion, or drugs. God wants you to have dominion over that to set yourself and the captive free.
Amen.
If you'll have a heart to enter into the original purposes of God, I believe the Spirit of God works overtime to produce this in you. God wants some people that reflect Him, His likeness, and His image. God wants some people He can bless and give them dominion over all things. And while the church has been in the dark about this, you get heathens who, though they aren't believers, they understand that they're here beyond themselves. And isn't it tragic people like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs were taken by the secular world and not the kingdom of God? But that's what changed. I said, that's going to change. God's going to have people of dominion in this generation. God's going to have people that are the head and not the tail. God's going to have people through which His kingdom comes. God's going to have people that don't reflect the religious spirit, but reflect His spirit. May His image and likeness come forth in your midst for the glory of God. In all our lives, do you want to know Him and reveal Him and exercise His dominion and rebuild and conquer the powers of darkness? See, God put you here for that. Now I want to tie this all together. Chapter 3. Because there's spiritual warfare against everything I've been saying tonight, we've got to be alert. How many hear that? We've got to be alert. Chapter 3. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, you'll not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you'll not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Notice already the deception. She started adding on to what God said.
Right.
It's called legalism. Isn't it amazing how people want all these laws and rules to try to make people live just like what I've been teaching here tonight? But it never has worked and never could work. See, we're going to get into the point. What will produce a people that ever get more like Christ? A people that share in His authority, dash dominion. A people that rebuild and a people that conquer wickedness. A people that live in the Christ-like realm of all power in heaven and earth is mine. Go and disciple a nation. I want to show you where that goes. It's a thing that is going to be fought right here. The devil wanted to destroy relationship. The relationship between God and man and the relationship between man and woman. If one thing Satan hates above everything else is God-ordained relationships. Have you ever noticed marriage comes under attack? Or was it just in my life? Hallelujah. Have you ever noticed there's attack between children and parents?
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed there's attack between white and black and black and Asian, and go down the line and then you go to Africa, there's attacks between the different tribes and the different nations. See, in the human race, there's a satanic warfare going on to divide and conquer. Now, if we don't know that, we become pawns in the enemy's hands. Satan hates relationships. Let's repeat this. Satan hates what?
Relationships.
He's not a relational guy. In fact, all the relationships Satan brings are perverted relationships, unclean relationships, dysfunctional relationships, abusive relationships. But I'm glad if that's true, God's relationships are relationships that are healthy, that are creative, that bring out the best in you, that heal the damage in you. God-given relationships. And dear people, we've got to get out of this Southern fried religion style where people come to a building a couple times a week but have no relationships with their brothers and sisters. With the young and old, we got to become a very relational people that aren't afraid people might find out we're human. I mean, if we're in the ministry, we got to have a halo over our head, you know, and got one more step, Jesus, and you're going to beam me up. That nonsense. People come to me before and said, "God said you're meant to be my spiritual father." I said, "If you're looking for a perfect father, get lost." You see, this phony stuff, you see people with their planes, trains, and automobiles, and you think they're just like Jesus. I want to tell you, no one's just like Jesus on the earth yet. We all got a long way to go and a long way to grow. Now, I want to say this. If he's here, I'd tell it and embarrass him even more. Pastor Jerry Abels is pretty close to getting in some of these things I'm talking about tonight, Christ-likeness. Maybe all his kids helped him. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Who knows? Of course, not his saintly wife. But anyhow, you know, his kids probably turned up the fire. Mine sure helped me, hallelujah, and I helped them too. Iron sharpens iron, the scripture says. So does a friend between a friend, you know, sparks flying. Of course, now here, you need discernment because people say, y'all come back, and that means get lost. You see, you can't have hypocritical relationships. You can't, but you can if you want to. And people say, "Well, I won't go to church. That's a bunch of hypocrites." Well, come on. You'll feel comfortable. Well, what a cop-out. We all have unchristlike, unhealed, underdeveloped areas, and we're hopefully working together to change that by love that covers a multitude of sins. We've got to understand that God created mankind for relationship. With him and with each other. God is a relational God. And Satan is against relationships and works overtime through sin and bad choices and direct influence to destroy relationships because God is for them and the enemy is against them. And that's so basic, but many people are so broken they can't have healthy relationships with anyone. And say, "Well, I got rid of that guy, and now I'm in a worse situation." Of course, you brought the baggage of the past relationship into the next relationship. "Well, I'll move somewhere," as if going to Texas is going to change you. Just a little bigger. But you can't hide. We'll go see in a minute. You can't hide. You think you can hide. And so you got, hear me. Some of the most dysfunctional people I've known, I'm saying this, I was once a pastor, and my wife was once a pastor's wife. Now I'm traveling ministry. But some of the most dysfunctional people I know are pastor's kids. You know why? They lived under such pressure to be perfect. And some of them are the worst kids in the church because they broke under that pressure. Or Satan had a major assignment to destroy them because of the call of God on their life. I know in New York City area, three kids, pastor's kids, died horrible deaths. One's heart exploded. The other was run over on a motorcycle in Florida, his head crushed. The other made a turn in the car and he was killed. Powerful calls. You know, Satan hates destiny because relationships are one of the major vessels or vehicles to bring relational, bring destiny to pass. The two become one. One will put 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000. I want to tell you, dear people, if we don't build strong relationships in our churches, we're building something religious, not something Christ-like. Man, I'll be very vague in this. I was in a pastor's home once. We had a revival service, cricket. That's what they called it. That's when few people get saved. That's what they call revival. But anyhow, after a service, the pastor said, "My wife and I want to talk to you tonight." I said, "Okay." I wondered, did I preach something bad? They didn't like what I prophesied. Maybe those devils that got cast out, talking to them now. But anyhow, I was wondering what was going to go on. And this is what they said. Imagine this. They said, "We want to talk to you." Sat down. The wife said, "Well, are you going to tell him?" He said, "I guess I will." He looked right at me, and my heart's going, pa-kang, pa-kang. This is what they told me. "We know we can trust you because you don't belong to our organization." What are you involved with something that you don't trust the people you're involved in? Do you understand how satanic, how stupid that is? Do you understand that? If I don't trust my pastor, I'm out of there. I trust my pastor. And when people tell me their sins, their failures, their past, no one's going to know about that. If some pastor opens his mouth, starts giving me the details of his people, I won't prophesy over them. Your father would shout, amen. First time I talked to Jerry Ables, he's going, "Well," he wasn't talking anything negative. He's just talking, "Well," I said, "Don't tell me anything." He was a little shocked. He hadn't run into prophets before. And I was always trained, never turn information into revelation. So he got up and said, "Well, when I met Brother Bill, I thought he was rude." I had a bit of bigger mouth 20 years ago. I said, "No, not rude, shrewd." He gave me a strange look, but he kept inviting me back for 20 years. So something worked. Hallelujah. But people, I want to say this. If we're going to have revival and we don't have strong relationships, we're a net so full of holes, we're going to miss and lose everything God gives us. And why are people getting into the drug scene? Why do people join all these stupid organizations? They're looking for friends. Hear me. This is the thing I've had people tell me. My father told me, he was a pastor, "Don't trust anybody." That really makes you love the church, right? I mean, don't ever admit your father and mother have a fight. What? Nonsense. Because, you know, you got to be perfect. Otherwise, notice this, people won't respect you. I tell you, I respect real people. Now, that doesn't mean I have a dysfunctional, unclean marriage. It just means we're working on things. Hallelujah. And I don't have no halo. My wife would say a pitchfork sometime, but no halo. Hallelujah. Relationship. God created mankind to be related one to the other in love, in harmony. He created mankind to have such a relationship with Him that God would have a partner on the earth.
Amen.
And if you don't think there's warfare to try to hinder any healthy relationship, maybe you're on a different planet than what I live on. Man, I know neighbors, one in my neighborhood, they haven't talked to each other except to swear at each other since the 1980s. And both of them talk to me. That's amazing. We got black African American next door. We got Sikhs. That's those with big turbans. We got Hispanic. Got those two maniacs, and I'm in the middle of it. Hallelujah. And we get on pretty well. And I'm praying against those division spirits. Because notice the serpent, Satan speaking through that beast, was trying to sow distrust and division that would bring defilement. When a church or a family is united, God would say in Genesis 11, nothing can stop them. See, you notice the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they've never split up. They're not disunified ever. They're supernaturally, eternally united. And God wants some of that released in His people.
Amen.
Unity. So here was the serpent trying to mess up relationships. And the woman was buying into the lie. And the serpent said, "You're not going to die." Notice that. Lying spirits. The devil lies to you about yourself, your appearance, your future. You know, if the devil says you're going to have cancer, start praising God that you're in health. Hallelujah. The devil tells you, you know, this is going to happen to your kid, start shouting the victory. It's never going to happen to your kid because he's the father of lies. God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes are going to be open and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Here was the tragedy. They were already godlike. And by eating this, they were going to be defiled so that God and mankind would be separated. And it would take a Savior coming to heal that breach. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it's pleasant to the eyes, lust the flesh, lust the eyes, and the tree desired to make one wise, pride of life, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave it also to her husband. And he ate. Rebellion. Their eyes of them were open and they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together. You know, I've stopped being a part of groups where people are wearing fig leaves. Fig leaf fellowship. Hi, my name's brother so forth. My name's Reverend so forth. My name's this. I like to just pop those balloons. I enjoy messing up religious spirits because Jesus did. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And they went berserk. 46 years we were building this place. How dare you? But he wasn't talking about that building. He was talking about this temple. Like Stephen comes in the hotel. Bill, I want to show you how to do this around here. I say, how are you today? The cleaning ladies. Is everything going all right? Oh, yes. I'm saying, hi. Walk past. Hallelujah. It keeps your pastoral ministry stirred up. Hallelujah. Sure glad that Yankee left. But anyhow. Notice this. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And God said, where are you? On and on and on. When we talk about Christ-likeness, the image of God, exercising dominion, replenishing the earth, subduing the earth. We've got to know that any of that happening is going to take warfare and not listening to any voice that contradicts His word and ways. There's warfare against the original plan of God. So that there have been people that rather than reveal the image of God, they're revealing Satan in such an incredible depth of evil. People that misuse their callings and anointing and purpose. Hitler was a great orator, but it was not under what God intended him to be, but under demonic powers. But here was God. Mankind didn't say, God, we've sinned. Adam and Eve didn't say, we've sinned. God came to them. They didn't come to God. Here's grace. We don't find Him. He finds us. We don't come to Him in our sins. He comes to us in our sinfulness. He doesn't come to damn us. He comes to abundantly pardon us. He doesn't come to reject us. He comes to restore us. Because the God of heaven, the only way Christ-likeness, bearing His image, exercising dominion, replenishing the earth, subduing the earth, will ever come to pass is God must have and develop in us an intimate, close relationship. Because Christianity is not a bunch of rules. It's not a culture that's strange or weird. The world doesn't need much more help than that. Christianity is true Christian faith are those that have a close relationship with Christ. And in that close relationship, don't want to do anything to separate themselves from the love, the presence, and the power of God. Our relationship with God determines whether His original purposes and plans will be activated or whether Satan will deceive us. And if he could and would destroy us, because Paul said, give no place to the devil. As we're in the presence of God tonight, God, this year, if we're going to be further down the road of seeing what He's prophesied in our life come to pass and more, and seeing the prophetic plan of God, which is Christ-likeness and exercising authority and dominion and building a kingdom that will not pass away. If we're going to experience that, we've got to, you know, it's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of. We got to concentrate on the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. We've got to make our relationship number one. And that's what the Apostle John told the Ephesians. He said, you've done all these right things and you're doing all this work all the time. Man, you're a busy beaver. I mean, you're like on the hamster wheel going all the time. But you've left me your first love. You know, you can get so busy in church work, you forget who you're working for. You can get so busy in activity that you miss intimacy in relationship with Jesus and you get burned out. I don't want to get burned out. I want to burn on. Because his ministers are meant to be a flame of fire. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. My God, I want a closer relationship with Jesus. Do you? Do you want to be a relational people that can get rid of your fig leaves and still be covered with the glory of God? Or do you want to be naked before God and man because really everything you're putting on is phony? You know, you got to be... Now, my father's from Mississippi, all right? So no offense meant, but offense meant. In New York, I know what I'm dealing with because they're in your face with no grace. But probably not 10,000 miles from here, people say most of the time what they really are not meaning. Now, you don't have to be mean and nasty like some of them up north. But you don't have to be hypocritical and unreal and religious, because that stuff hinders the love of Christ, because we're to speak the truth in love, not run from the truth because of a lot of stuff. And God wants a real church that people say, what you got here, we ain't got out there. What you got here is what we've been looking for our whole life. People that love us and care for us and lay down their life for us and will deny themselves and put God first and put us first. People that are living in a way that the world cannot duplicate or bring forth. They don't have it in the bars. They don't have it in the government. They don't have it in the schools. They don't have it in the sports scene. You have a supernatural culture that's based on a supernatural relationship with God, who had an original plan to release His life and His dominion and His likeness on the earth. Do you want to see that happen? That's why we got to be careful we're not listening to the serpent. I mean CNN. I mean the serpent. Hallelujah. Man, I was watching a program last night. There was such witchcraft coming through that program. Because rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. And hear me, anybody, if you get close to them long enough, you'll have plenty of things to criticize. And the spirit of judgment will come on you to have phony discernment. But that's why Peter said, above all things, have fervent love among yourself, because love is going to cover a multitude of sins. And he wasn't talking about outside the church, it's in the church. Amen. It's grace after you're saved, not just before you're saved, not just at the cross, but grace comes in its abundance after salvation. Are you glad for the abundant grace of God? That you don't have to hide your dysfunctions. You don't have to hide your pain. You don't have to hide your hurts. You don't have to put on a phony smile. And see, y'all come back when you want people to go somewhere and not back. Hallelujah. You see, we got to break out of cultural stuff that's so phony. We got to be real and not sinful, not gross, but we got to be real, and we don't want to put on our fig leaves. I tell you, I'm glad I had enough revelation. When I had kids, I never told them, you're a pastor's son or daughter. You got to act. No. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. And we don't have to put on phony images and phony stuff. We can just be believers who are in process of becoming more and more like Jesus. Amen? But let's not listen to the serpent, because I want to guarantee you, God's original plan is opposed 24/7 by the powers of darkness. When the serpent came in Eden, mankind fell, and we're in a fallen world that God's in process of restoring. Amen. So everything is under construction. Right. And aren't you glad there was a perfect carpenter? Yeah. who was infinite God in a human body, and he said, I know mankind's not like me. I know mankind's not reflecting the image of God. I know mankind's being beaten around by the powers of hell. I know mankind is listening to wrong voices and not my voice, but I've come to destroy the works of the devil, because my original plan from the beginning is going to come to pass for the glory of God. Can we give him a victory shout here tonight? Can we give him a victory shout here tonight? You say, well, how is this going to happen? Because I grew up not in a home. I grew up in a zoo where we acted like animals to each other. My God, I don't like to even think, because that I've forgiven. I got over. I had so many police visits when I grew up, and fist fights with my father and throwing a brick through an expensive picture window and him trying to kill me and me trying to kill him. I didn't have to go to Vietnam. We had Vietnam in the home. And we weren't people living in the ghetto. We were people living in the most expensive areas of Brussels, Belgium. You know, we weren't down and outers. We were up and outers. But aren't you glad God said, I'll make all things new? And the word father to me was the F word, because I hated my father. But I'm glad God came and healed that hate and took that poison out of me and made me a new person. So by the end of his life, my father responded to the gospel, and God took me out of darkness and light. No, I'm not going to live listening to the serpent. Thank you. I'm going to break that channel good.
Amen.
We've got to choose. Will we be relational or will we be a wreck? And it's relational issues, the roots of them, that cause people to become alcoholics, drug addicts, sexual perverts. It's rejection and rebellion that has never been delivered and healed in their life. Delivered from and healed in their life. May God release such supernatural grace in all our lives that we become more relational. And it's wisdom to it. Like my wife has a beautiful sign in our home. Everyone welcome. When I get there, I turn around, everyone stay away. Hallelujah. There's reasons for that when you travel. But anyhow, people have relational gifts. My son really does. But all of us should be relatable. May the Spirit of God produce such supernatural relationships in these churches that you bring the kingdom of God to overturn religious spirits that have built religious systems that oppose everything I'm talking about tonight, because relationships are the very glue that hold churches together. Relationships in their strength, a bunch of people properly related to one another, is the net that keeps the fish that God wants to bring in abundance.
Amen.
May the Spirit of God cause God's original plan and purposes to be fulfilled in all our lives. Amen? And may we draw near to God, that God draws near to us. May we get serious to get the strongholds out of our minds and hearts that opposes everything I'm talking about tonight. Because my Father, when He created mankind, didn't create them for how they are today. But the good plan of redemption is God wants to reverse the curse and wants to use us to take dominion. He wants to take out of us the likeness of sin and death, the enemy, and produce in us the likeness of righteous peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. My God is a relational God, and He says, come unto me. Are you glad? Jesus wants to be close to you. He wants to be your best friend. He wants to deliver you from the powers of darkness. He wants to make you a church that's so close-knit that there's no room for the devil. You know, I've ministered to people, but no one comes to my home and no one gets to know me. That's a religious devil. Amen. When we all know we're in process and we're getting healed and we're all flawed vessels that God is making well, we can relax. Amen. We can hang out. We can work together. We can stand together. We can see the enemy defeated together. May the Holy Spirit release such supernatural unity as we refuse to listen to the serpent and get a revelation continuously of God's original plan for the human race and work as His partners to bring it to pass.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we take dominion tonight. In Jesus' name, I bless your sons and daughters here tonight. In Jesus' name, I bless the body of Christ here tonight. In Jesus' name, I call forth kingdom relationships and breakthrough between mothers and sons and fathers and daughters. You promise in Malachi that you're going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Thank you, Father, for supernatural restoration of relationships. You'll build your church that has abundance of grace and above all fervent love to cover a multitude of sins. God, show America that there's a people that's got it together. Not Democrats or Republicans, but Kingdom of God people. Show America, Lord, the way and the truth of life embodied in us. And may the likeness of Christ come forth. May the dominion of the kingdom come forth. May a conquering grace pour out of our lives. Wherever we work, wherever we live, may sin be put down, may evil be subdued, and may people choose to walk in the Christ-like relationship that God put them on the earth to be sons and daughters who listen to the King, who hear His voice, who don't put on no fig leaves, but are clothed in Christ's righteousness. Father, I call forth the original purposes of God in this place, in these people, and strong, supernatural, Christ-fearing people that are rightly related to God and each other in the name of Jesus. I said in the name of, in the name of, in the name of, hallelujah. Let's give Him a victory shout as we begin to close. Give Him a victory shout. Give God, your Father, a victory shout. He's your Father. He's your friend. He's your Redeemer. He's your cleanser. He's your provider. He's the conqueror of the serpent for you. Father, seal this word. Let not the enemy steal this word in the name of Jesus.